This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وبركاته. الحمد لله حمد الشاكرين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. It's a pleasure and an honor, alhamdulillah, to join with you once again here from my home in Perth, Western Australia, with my dear brothers and sisters in around the world via the wonderful medium of Islam Channel. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to connect always in that which is good and to help us achieve our aims of coming together and understanding our faith and faithfulness in a way that is pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an honor, alhamdulillah, to be able to try to serve in this need where there are, I'm sure, questions that perhaps may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use me for good in answering them for you, for your homes, communities, and your families. And I hope, inshallah, that as you begin calling through islamchannel.tv, although they're stationed in the UK, we get callers from all around the world, mashallah, during this time. It's 12 p.m. noon in London. And it's 8 p.m. here in Perth, Western Australia. While your calls start queuing in, I wanted, inshallah, to begin by speaking about the environment. And of course, this is a very topical theme. And inshallah, over the three or four different Wednesdays that we have in the month of November, I look forward, inshallah, in contributing and commentating on some of the issues that Islam has as an ethical system, as a system of balance and harmony, for we as human beings have only one earth to be upon, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us as stewards in it and as khulafa upon it. To be able to live in balance and harmony is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means his habit, his modality, his way of life, and what we seek, inshallah. Of course, you're free to ask questions about various topics, but that will be the theme of my discussion that I wish to begin with you today. All of us know in these days that many of the world's leaders have flown in, ironically, of course, flown in to the wonderful, beautiful city of Glasgow. And I pray that I can visit that community once again. It's such an amazing experience to visit Scotland in particular. Glasgow and Edinburgh are a favorite of myself and my family. But all of them have converged there for this topical issue. And we know that the royal family in the United Kingdom is kind of spearheading a campaign. They want this to become an issue that takes center stage. But for us as Muslims, it is a natural process. And I want you to kind of think of our deen as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to us, Ar-Rahman. He begins by identifying himself. He doesn't need to say Allah is Ar-Rahman. He begins just openly, I am the most merciful, the Lord of mercy. Allama al-Qur'an. I'm the one who has given this Qur'an as a knowledge, as a keepsake of knowledge for you to practice it. Khalaqa al-insan. This Qur'an was destined for you as human beings even before the creation of Adam. Khalaqa al-insan. Allamahu al-bayan. He allowed mankind the ability, the knowledge to converse, to teach, to explain to each other topics. And that makes us very different to many of the other animals that habit the earth. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ The sun and the moon, everything has an accounting, everything has a place, everything has a time, everything is in precise order. وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانِ And the stars and the trees, all of them bow down in subjugation to the authority of Allah. They're prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this sequence, he speaks about wada al-mizan, that he created the balance and the harmony of all things in life. And many of the natural laws that you and I as human beings enjoy, whether it's the laws that are absolute, things like gravity and so on, that we come to understand through demonstrable means, are things that give balance to the earth in a way that other systems around us have not. Why is there life on earth and not on Mars? Well, the gravitational pull on earth allows the oxygen levels to remain in a place as elements and as molecules that they can stay in an area that is habitable for human beings. And of course, the further you go up in elevation, you know, oxygen is not found in higher areas. You breathe a little bit heavier when you go further up from sea level, because oxygen is pulled down through the delicate balance of the gravitational pull that allows human beings who live at the surface to be able to breathe it. The beauty of H2O and the water that we're created from, the water that is a part of life, is something that is so precious to us. And ironically, of course, it's one of the things that Allah continues to impress upon us. لا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها. Do not rain corruption upon the earth after I have made it in its way of perfection, in its most balanced sense. And therefore, we worry about the earth's temperature increasing or decreasing. We worry about ozone 3 and the ozone layer depleting and the amount of radiation that touches our skin and enters into our areas and systems, that it has irreparable damages or for extended periods of time. We know that the earth has evolved from one way to another, not just from scientific method, but also from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. One of the beautiful hadith is the Prophet ﷺ said that the day of judgment shall not return until Arabia will become a land full of rivers and vegetation as it used to be. Subhanallah. We know in the Quran that Prophet Ibrahim, 5,000-7,000 years ago, in general, entered into Mecca and it was desolate, no vegetation. But how do we know that there was vegetation? How is the Prophet ﷺ, who lived 1,500 years ago, aware that there's vegetation? Well, he's informed by Allah. But what evidence do we have? Well, the fossil fuels, you know, the oil that's found under the Arabian Peninsula is there because it's been deposited, organic matter, it's seaweed, it's plants, it's vegetables, it's animals that have been deposited and over time compacted, and with heat and pressure, they become these oils that are now pumped up as black gold. It's an incredible kind of statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he could speak about something with such surety that can only be from a realm that is beyond what was the common knowledge of his era and his time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So over these few days, inshallah, while your questions come in, please do feel free to call in, inshallah, and we'll try to answer your questions as they come along. We have a caller on the line. We'll continue with some of our first themes, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help? Yes, sister. Yes, go ahead, sister. Okay, so let me answer that first question, and we'll take the second and third as we go along. So I understand from your question, sister, that you have an incontinence problem, that if you cough, that it kind of allows, the wudu to be broken. So you're saying if you put a lozenge, or if you have something in your mouth that keeps your mouth wet, that may help you from not coughing. Now, in general, one of the things that breaks salah and that is not allowed in salah is the consumption of food. And this, of course, is one who is actively eating something. So I would say to you that gum and, you know, lollies and things like that should not be eaten. But if you're able to take, you know, a cough medicine or a cough lozenger just before you pray, finish as much of it as you can and then begin your salah, that would be something that would be acceptable, inshallah. But actively eating during the salah I would prefer you not do that, because we have a solution in the Sunnah that the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked a similar question by one of the women of his Sahaba, he said, begin your wudu, begin your salah with your full wudu, having cleansed yourself, you're ready to pray. And if this is a habit that you cannot stop, then maintain your prayer, and your prayer is still valid. So don't worry too much about it. But if you feel that if you take this medicine, it will help you, then do so right before the salah. But don't be eating or drinking anything in the midst of your prayer, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Your second question, sister. So, Jazakallah khair for that question. So we'll follow up as an addition. Jazakallah khair. So if somebody has a little bit of najasa on their clothes and they're not able to change it, then they can attempt to wash it even while they're wearing it, even if it's to rub a little bit of water on it, that removes the color and the scent as much as possible. It does not have to be washed with soap and soaked and to that degree. But it's something that can be just rubbed with a little bit of water to remove the spot of the najasa. If that's not possible, to add a layer of water to it so that it removes the najasa. If that's not possible, to make their niyyah with their salah and to pray, it is better for them to have that deficiency than not to fulfill their ibadah in the way that is asked by Allah, in the time that is asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if they can join the prayers, I would say if you can join your Dhuhr and Asr, because you know this may happen before Maghrib and Isha, and then pray Maghrib in its time and Isha in its time when you get home, and that way it's only impacting one prayer, it is better for you to join the prayers than to miss the prayer from being prayed at its time. So when you have the opportunity, as soon as Salah time comes in, while everything is fresh, do your salah, join the prayer that's coming next with it, insha'Allah, and maintain your best habit with that. May Allah grant ease and accept the niyyah, the intent of pleasing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third question, insha'Allah. Yes, sister. What I would say to you, sister, and I'll rephrase the question, inshallah. If somebody has made a vow saying, oh Allah, I'm asking you for this. This is a need I have. This is for my daughter or for myself, for my finance. And oh Allah, allow this to happen. And if so, I will give this much charity, or I'll fast this many days, or I'll pray as you offered 50 rak'ah, as you are saying the question was asked of you. If the dua hasn't been answered, or you don't think it's been answered, should you still pray or not? And the answer is, you're welcome to pray them or not. Either one is valid. If it becomes something that somebody has made an oath that they're not able to fulfill, then they are able to back away from it by fasting 3 days and by doing that as a repeal for it. But of course, fulfilling one's oath is from the ethics of a Muslim. That is something that should be done, inshallah. And if it's something, it becomes important for us to be careful with the types of vows we make. We are not a community of monks, and we are not those who take like a vow of silence or a vow of worship, or I won't sit until this occurs. And these kind of things are more cultural and are not rooted in our deen. So I would caution against making an exaggerated oath between oneself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, oh Allah, give us victory on the Battle of Badr. If you do so, I will do this and this and this and this. Rather, we have this belief and tawakkul upon Allah. We pray to Allah to grant us success, and we are allowed to make a vow, make a nadr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take an oath with Allah, but it should not be in temptation of Allah. It should not be, oh Allah, I'm going to give you this, so do this for me. If you do, you know, it shouldn't be in that sense. It should be a loving act, not a burdening act, for us to enjoy the spirit of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your questions. Wa jazakallah anna khayr al-jaza'. Allahumma ameen. We're going to continue with our theme about the environment, inshallah. We have another caller with us online, and we'll continue with the environment from an Islamic philosophical perspective and our doctrine, our aqidah, afterwards, inshallah. Our caller on the line, assalamu alaikum. Allahi barik fiik.
I had a couple of questions. My first question was, when you're praying behind the imam and he makes qunut, but he doesn't say ameen after the du'a, do you have to say ameen, or you just raise your hands and then go follow him? And the second question was, is it okay to listen to the Quran if you're not paying attention?
MashaAllah, jazakumullah khair. With regards to the first question, inshaAllah, actually, I'll begin with the second question. It becomes important for us that the Quran, the general message, is that there's a difference between hearing and listening. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when you are in an audience and in a time where you are meant to be giving your attention to the Quran, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ فَأَنْصِتُوا وَاسْتَمِعُوا. Be quiet and listen. So when you're in a gathering in the masjid, for example, and somebody's giving a speech and somebody, when your intention is to be there for the Quran, then you should give it your best and undivided attention. Allah says in Surah Qaf that, from the things that allow us to benefit from the Quran, لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ, to the one whose heart is present, أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ, the one who gives it his full attention, وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ, and the one who's witnessing to its mastery in their life. That gives the Quran a particular flavor. Now, of course, there are other moments in our life where we hear the Quran, but we're not actually actively listening to it. So you might get into a taxi, or one of the brothers is, you know, picking you up or driving you off, and he had the Quran on before you got in, and you were on a call, or you were, you know, checking your email or something. That is not a sinful practice for us to be engaged with something other than the Quran. We're not required to put everything down the moment we hear Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and somebody opens a verse from the Quran. But if we are able to galvanize our spirit and bring ourselves to that, then that is something that would be a righteous process. I'm not sure what gyms you guys have in London, mashallah, pumping the Quran. That's a beautiful thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you guys in good over there. It's a very rare commodity here in Australia. So alhamdulillah that these kind of things, or whether it's in your headphones or other things, inshallah. But try to give the Quran as much attention and as much care as you are able throughout the day, and as you focus on it, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. There's a number of issues that intertwine with the statements of the Quran and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should always give it the respect that it deserves. And one of the things that has become a lost component, lost pillar, that upholds the sanctity of Islam in the hearts of many Muslims, is that we have lost the awe and the respect for the Quran. So we were taught by our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents to treat the Quran with respect, to hold it with respect, to wrap it in something, to put it on the highest shelf, to treat it with a dignity. And we know that this came from the Sahaba, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, when he received the Mus'haf from Uthman ibn Affan, it was delivered. He put his face in it and he began to weep. And he said, "Hadha kalamu Rabbi." This is the scripture that has been sent to us from our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was in awe of it. And, you know, in the past, somebody who had passed away in the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were in such a rush to bury the martyrs of Uhud because of the danger that surrounded. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who knows the most Quran should be placed in the grave first before the others. And that just shows you, even in that moment, there's a level of dignity and respect for the word of Allah. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us that comfort and allows us to continue with that and that spirit. Allahumma ameen. We're going to take a break and come back for more questions. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Your brother Yahya. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. اللهم صل على نبينا محمد.